So, anyways, January 25th, 2017, the 27th of Teves, Tavshin Ayin Vav. We have, we're in Perek Chaf. We're really just going to do a couple of Rambans. And the Ramban sort of charts out the first couple of, Dibros, gives you the order of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of trying to demonstrate with this particular order. So the first thing that the Ramban points out is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So that's an interesting introduction. I am Hashem, your God. So that took you out of Egypt. So what is this? So says the Ramban, Hadibar Azeh Mitzvos Aseh, that this commandment is a positive commandment. That Hashem says, I am Hashem. And I want you to realize that you should believe in me. And he says, V'amar Asher Otseisicha Mi'aretz Yisra'im, I took you out of Egypt. What's the purpose of that language? So, Ki Otseisa Misham Torah Al HaMetzius V'al HaChifetz Ki B'yadiyya U'v'hashgach V'imeni Yatzana Misham. That it gives context to the Torah. And it is known that it was a Kadosh Baruch who took us from there. I mean, now that we're going to get the Torah, Hashem is introducing himself and saying, oh, by the way, you know, I'm that guy. The guy who took you out of there, and you recognize that there is clearly somebody involved with that. So that being, God, that was involved with that, is also going to be involved as a source for the entire Torah. That's idea number one that the Ramban says. And then he continues on and says, V'gam Torah al hachidush. Ki in kidmos ha'olam lo yishtana davar mitavo. That it also points out that it's that about the chiddush, meaning the newness of leaving Egypt, in that from the beginning of the world, nothing ever changed mitavo. I mean, there hadn't been any change of nature. Now, I was trying to think quickly. Are there miracles that are throughout all of Bereishis till Yetzias Mitzrayim? Does the Torah record any? The Torah itself record any particular miracles that are totally outside the range of nature, other than Noah's flood? But that's a little different. Not sure.
Like the sun stopping.
Sun hadn't stopped yet. That's later on. So anyway, so he says that hadn't happened.
By the way, is it a miracle that all the animals
could
fit into the
table?
They are.
Sure, but that's not explicit. I don't know if that's explicit in the Torah. The Torah doesn't spell that out as being a, like it does with the plagues, or where Hashem demonstrates, it says, you know, I'm going to do this amazing thing by taking, it's not, yes, if one sits down and looks around and says, wait a second, you know, you go to the zoo, and you see how many animals there are there, and then you also consider that in the zoo, they don't even have any elephants, it's just a ridiculous calamity.
And it's the dimensions of the table.
Right, and it gives you dimensions, so you sit and think about it and say, wait a second, how is that exactly going to work?
Right.
But it's not really explicit, as that Hashem says, you're going to see something like, it's going to blow your minds right now, and that sea is going to be split. It's a different description. So that through recognizing the change of nature, you realize that I'm really in charge of everything, and I've been in charge of everything, and therefore now you're ready to accept the Torah. So that's the two pshatim that the Ramban gives as to why Hashem introduces himself in the context of he who took B'nai Israel out of Egypt. So the next thing I want to point out, the Ramban, Rashi already pointed this out yesterday, that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otseisicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim, that took you out from the land of Egypt, Beis Avadim. So Rashi says, Otseisicha, I'm not a dictate guy, but Otseisicha is Lashon Yachid, is a language, a singular language, as opposed to Asher Otseichem, I guess it would be. Who took you in plural, meaning when we say you, you could apply to you, individual, you, Bruce, or I could say you, all of you. It's the same word. In Hebrew, it's not going to be the same word. It's going to be a difference between Yachid and Rabin. And Rashi points out that took you out in a singular language as opposed to a plural language. So Rashi already says, why? Why is it Lashon Yachid? Hashem is speaking to the entire Klai, so I made a major point of that in the previous parak. And Ramban also points out that it's being made a point here as well, that Hashem is speaking to the entire Jewish people. So why is it singular? So Rashi says, interesting, Lisan pitchon pe lemoshe lelamed sanig Goria of a Maisa Eagle, because the eagle is going to come, and by speaking in singular language, it is a pischon pet. It's an opening for Moshe to say that maybe the people thought you're only speaking to me. Right? If it's only said in a singular language, so that Moshe could say, well, they didn't realize that this really applied to all of them, and therefore don't take it out on them, and they should be permitted to continue to live, etc. So that is the reason why it was mentioned in Lashon Yom. So the Ramban gives a somewhat more expansive idea. So the Ramban is Dibra Maskel V'Nemru. So V'Nemru Kol HaDibros Kulan B'Lashon Yachid. Why were all the Dibros mentioned B'Lashon Yachid? Hashem Elokech Asher Otei Sicha V'Lo Kasher Hiskil Lahem Otam Risem Im Shemoa Tishmu'u. Right, we see in the previous parak, it was if you listen, and listen is plural. So Lahazir Ki Kol Yachid Mehem Ye Anish Alamitzos. To tell them that each individual is going to be punished for the mitzvos. And it was the opposite of what Rashi said. Rashi said it's a lashon singular, so everybody can say he's talking to the other guy. And Rashi's saying, no, it's a lashon singular to make sure each individual realizes that there's a personal responsibility on them. Kim kol echad yedaver, that Hashem is speaking with each individual. Will kol echad yisavesh lo yachshavu ki achar rov yelech v'yachu yinatzalimahem. And nobody should think that, oh, Hashem follows the majority. As long as the majority of the Jews are doing okay, Hashem will follow the majority. No, each individual is important. He says, and that is exactly what the pshat is, what the explanation is of the beginning of the parsha of Nitzavim. What does it say at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim? This is already, you know, all the way towards Rosh Hashanah is coming. Rosh Hashanah has just come. Not necessarily concentrating so hard, but it's the parsha of Tshuva, Nitzavim and Vayelech. So the Parshas Nitzavim begins by saying, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You're all standing here, each individual, the elders, the judges, and every person of Israel. I'm sorry, that's actually what I wanted to look at. It's a little later on. Pasuk Yizayin. Pen yesh bachem, lest there be a man or a woman, o mishpacha o shevet, or a family or a tribe, asher levavo pone hayom mi'im Hashem Elokeinu, who will turn from Hashem, to go worship the other gods. Perhaps there's among you a root flourishing of gall and wormwood. And a person will, lest they think in their heart that, oh, everything will be okay, because I walk as my heart sees fit. Thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. Meaning everything is okay, and therefore it sounds like you're taking zechuyos from the rest of Klal Yisrael or something. Not sure what that means. Okay, but he says Hashem won't forgive him. Lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo. Hashem's not going to forgive him. So what does that parsha mean? That a person thinks, oh, it's okay. I'll just be with everybody else. I'll do the averos. I'll do a couple of bad things. But don't worry, I'm part of Klal Yisrael. I'll be okay. So that's Hashem is saying, no, you're going to be punished for that. So that's what's going on here. Hashem is saying the Aseres HaDibros and Lashon Yachid to point to every Jew and say, each and every one of you, you're all responsible to maintain this. You're not allowed to just say, oh, I'll be along with everybody else. Right? You know the difference, they say the difference between a rabbi and a rebbe? Between a rabbi and a rebbe? Right, a rebbe, when he speaks, he could speak to 5,000 chassidim all at once, and each one thinks that they're speaking directly to him. The rabbi could speak to the shul, 150 people there, each one thinks that he's speaking to the guy next to him. Right? That's the difference between Rashi and the Ramban over here. So we continue in Pasuk Gimel. Yes, so that's idea number one. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's the first. This is the idea of having emunah in Hashem. So the pasuk gimel is lo yelocha elokim acharim al panai, that you're not permitted to have other gods here. So what is that referring to? So Rashi seems like it's referring to making gods. That this whole thing is lo yelocha lo taselocha. That's the mitzvah of not making gods, not necessarily not worshiping them, just not making them. And the Ramban says that I got a problem with that. I understand that it's based on a brisa. He says, "Lo yelcha lama nemar lefish nemar lo taselcha ein li elo shelo yeyase aslo yikvar minay shelo yikayu tamen lo lo yelcha." Right, the Rashi learns this out, is really quoting a brisa, the Mechilta. The Mechilta says that maybe thou shalt not make. Maybe that only means that you're not allowed to make You're not allowed to make gods to keep them with you. Maybe it means that if you had one already made, you're allowed to keep that around with you. So therefore it's coming to tell you that you're not allowed to have those with you either. That's the limud. So the Ramban says, first of all, he says, if that's the case, what about serving them? Right? I would assume serving them is worse than keeping them. So why would you teach the prohibition of keeping them before you teach the prohibition of serving them? Right? I would teach the prohibition. You're not allowed to serve gods. That's the chi of misa. That's the terrible, awful, no good, very bad thing that you would do. And owning them is also a no good, very bad thing that you would do. But that's sort of an afterthought to not serving them. If I'm giving the aseret hadibros, I would think that the primary thing should be, right? What? The primary thing should be not to serve them. So that's the Ramban's first question. The second question he asks is, and it's a little bit, it's a little bit of a detail here. He says, that Braisa is only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And we paskin like the other opinion in the Braisa, and which seems to indicate that this is actually referring to the prohibition of serving Hashem, serving Avodah Zarah itself. So that's the Ramban continues on and says, this is V'nachon gam lefi apshashu miloshon b'yashem li lelukim liyos lachem lelukim yomar shalo yiel lanu bilti Hashem elukim acherim mikom malachim ala, that we shouldn't have any other god from all of the heavenly beings, umikol tzva shemai, from any of the legions of heaven anikrim elukim, that are called elukim. Now, we had this already, that Elohim Achirim, what does it mean when it talks about other gods? Elohim Achirim. So we often, you know, we don't want to say, oh, well, there's other gods. There's our God, and then there's Zeus, and then there's, right? That doesn't make any sense. We assume that there are no other gods. So the Ramban consistently says, no, it's not referring to that there are other god gods. It's that there's other legions. There's other things that control the heavens, other things that control the other nations. There are other beings out there all subservient to our gods. So that's what Elohim Achirim means. And we're not supposed to serve those other things. Fine. So that's what he's saying here, that we shouldn't have another god besides our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he continued, and he actually gives you the explanation of Elohim Achirim, and then it says, V'nehizir v'dibar ha'sheni t'chila shalom mekabel lanu adon mikol lekim zolasi Hashem. That we accept at this point that we're not supposed to accept any other gods besides Hashem. V'achar kach amar, and then he goes on and says, and don't make any pesav chol t'mun l'shtach avoslem lo'lav t'im b'shum avudah v'yolam. And don't make any other gods that you're going to worship either. Meaning, it's all, as opposed to Rashi says, it's all about making gods. This whole prohibition is about making graven religions. The Rabban is saying, no, it's all about serving other gods. What's the part about making gods then? And right in Pasuk Dalet it says, Lo tasel l'cha pesel v'chot b'na, you shouldn't make any other gods. So he's saying, yeah, don't make any other gods, and then v'lo tishachav elohem, and don't serve them, v'lo tavdeim. I mean, don't worship any other god. The whole thing is about worshiping as opposed to making. That's the suggestion that the Ramban has. L'kach lo amr lo tishachav elohem, ki hu nismach ala siya shemanu otam yishachav elohem, v'nei kulam azharos me'avod azar. All of it, the entire section here, the entire second Dibra, is all warnings, is all a prohibition of serving Avodah Zarah itself. Fine. Why not? So the Ramban continues, so the Torah continues, why? Ki anuchi Hashem Elokecha Elkana Poked Avon Avos Habanim Ashrim Rabim Lesunah. Why? Because I am a jealous God. Right, poked avon avos habanim, and I will visit the iniquity, etc., etc. So why? Because I am Hashem your God, Elkana, a jealous God. So the Ramban here is a pretty lengthy one. We'll read a few parts of it. He says, "I am Hashem your God." V'lo nimsa b'kasu b'shum makom sheyavol Hashem kina b'shem hanichbad ki'im b'inyan avodah zarah bilvad. The Ramban says that an interesting thing, the idea of God being a jealous God. So we've heard that terminology before. The Ramban points out that God, the Torah only uses that terminology with regards to the prohibition of avodah zarah. It doesn't say, thou shalt not wear shatnez, because I'm a jealous God and I'm going to be very angry with you if you do it, right? The idea of a jealous God is pertaining to the idea of Avodah Zarah. He goes on and says, and that's what the Mor Nevuchim says as well, that we don't find in the Torah any language of charon af, v'lo loshem kas, v'lo loshem kina. Those three things, charon af, the anger of God, kas is also anger, charon af sounds like a stronger anger than kas is just being angry, and kina and jealousy, all of those are only used by avodah zarah. That's what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim. So the Rambam takes issue with that. He says, well, the Rambam is right. He got one out of three right. That it's true that kina is only used by avodah zarah. The other two, charon af and kas, that Hashem uses in other contexts as well. And the Rambam gives you a few examples of those as well. But fine. But anyways, but why is that? Why is jealousy strictly pertaining to avodah zarah? So it seems it's pretty pashut. V'tama kina ki Yisrael sugula Hashem hanichbar asher hivdilam lo, that because we're the am sugula, that Hashem has separated us, kasher pirashti lema, as I explained above, v'nei im ha'am shelo misharsav ponim el elokim acherim, and if that nation which God has separated, which God has uniquely brought towards Him, yiknaven, it goes to some other God, so yiknaven, God will be jealous. Kasher ish mekana b'ish dobalach dalach. Just like a man is jealous of his wife, or if his wife goes and goes with other men, and a servant, if a servant goes and finds another master, and Hashem doesn't say it with regards to other nations, because those other nations are subject to those other legions, which is a very interesting thing. Meaning the Ramban is saying, yeah, other nations do correspond. There is sort of a heavenly being in charge of the Egyptians, and there's a heavenly being in charge of the Mongolians. There's a heavenly being in charge of the French, although they would never admit that. But right, there is heavenly beings in charge of all these things. So they're not allowed to worship them. I mean, the prohibition of avodah zarah is still applicable to non-Jews. But the reality is that there is sort of this, according to the Ramban's world, a being in charge of them. So therefore, if another nation would then go ahead and worship avodah zarah, the terminology of God's jealousy would not be applicable. That's what the Ramban just said.
Mine's jealousy is when somebody has something that's rightfully yours. When somebody has something that's rightfully yours. In other words, you can't. Jealousy is not like I want to have a house like it in his house. But when something has something that's rightfully yours, like if somebody has your wife,
yeah,
your wife is rightfully yours, so you have a right to be jealous.
I'm not sure why you.
That
you mean it's permitted to be jealous, yeah, under those circumstances.
We're his people. We're his people. So if we, you know, serve another god.
Right. I mean, spoiler alert, there is a prohibition of lo sachma. There's a prohibition of not to be jealous. So why is it that Hashem is jealous? So the answer is, well, if it's something that should be yours, so then you can be jealous about it. Okay. Okay. There is maybe this might be for Musar Day. There is a I heard from Rav Rudinsky once that he commented that there is something you're allowed to be jealous of. There's an idea you're allowed to be jealous of Torah, right? That kinasof from Tarba Chachma, the Gemara says, that jealousy among scholars increases Torah. So he claimed, this is his chiddush, that Hashem could only impose the prohibition of kina once there was something that it was mutter for a person to be mekana about. That it's human nature to desire to be desirous. It's human nature for a person to have desire for more things. So to say, oh, you're not allowed to be jealous, is cutting off human nature. Hashem could only say, you're not allowed to be jealous of other things once there is something else that a person could be jealous about. What would that be? Talmud Torah. And to fit within Bruce, what Bruce is saying was Talmud Torah is something that belongs to all of us. Torah belongs to all of us. I have the right to be totally desirous of it. Okay. So anyway, so the Ramban makes that point there. And then he continues on and says, I'll tell you a few different things about avodah zarah. He says there's really three different aspects. When the Torah talks about worshiping avodah zarah, there's really three different things going on. It says the first thing is la'avodas hamalachim sheim haschelim hanivdalim bavur sheyodelim miksasim shiravas torah shalvimos. Number one is to be jealous to serve angels. right, to serve these heavenly beings, that is not necessarily God, but sort of do exist. He says that's issue of Avodah Zarah number one. That's category one. Category two is V'amin Hasheni B'Avodah Zarah. The second category, he says, is Shechazru Lavo L'Tzava Hashemayim, to go and worship the legions in the heaven, for example, the sun or the moon. To serve heavenly beings that are sort of carrying out the work of Hashem, bringing light to the world. The sun brings light to the world, the moon brings light to the world. So to serve that, that's category number two. And then category number three, he says, by the way, v'karov be'inai, shehuchal zeh b'dor haflag asher yifitzam Hashem el aratzos. That the idea that there's other, that there's kind of other beings in charge of other nations, that came into being by the dor haflaga. What's the dor haflaga? Generation of the Migdal Bavel, a flood that they were spread out. The generation of the Bavel. When they sent them away, the dispersion. There you go. The generation of the dispersion. Why? Because as soon as there was a dispersion, that means that there were now other nations. There are now 70 languages and 70 nations, and therefore different beings that were in charge of these different nations. So that's why that of Avodah Zarah came in at that point. And then the third thing that the Ramban adds is V'amin Hashlishi b'Avodah Zarah Achar Kach Chazru La'Avodes Hashedim Shehem Ruchos, that Hashem came back and Hashem prohibited the prohibition of worshipping. Shedim are demons, things of that nature. So then he continues and says, when you read through this prohibition, this dibra, which is a pretty lengthy dibra, he says all three of them are included here, and he spells it out. Yidei Torah asr v'dibra zeh hasheni kol avoda bilti Hashem lebadu, except for Hashem Himself. V'lkach hizir b'tchila lo yeh l'cha lukim achrim al panai sheim amin arisha. When Hashem said you're not going to have other gods al panai in front of me, that's referring to the first type, right? That the other things that the angels, things like that. And then he says, "Asher b'shamayim," says things, other things in the heavens. That's referring to the sun, the moon, the stars, and other heavenly creations. And then number four. And then he says, the last one is "Vamar Asher b'mayim mitachas la'aretz l'rabos hashid." And he says the last one that includes things that are under the ground as well, things that are on the ground as well. That includes the shamayim. So those are three different aspects of Avodah Zarah. All of them are contained within these couple of psukim that are contained within the second dibra.
How does that? How do those? Is that an Avodah Zarah?
Oh, that is a multi-billion-dollar question that you're asking. That has been an issue for Jews for.
I know, but
big problem.
It doesn't mention the heavenly bodies, demons, and everything. What about worshiping a person?
Yeah. So for Jews. One second. Well, worshiping Jesus is not necessarily worshiping him as a person. They're worshiping him as a partner with God. I mean, they've elevated him to being God, and etc. So the kuli alma lo pligi. Everybody agrees that Christianity. Shouldn't say all Christianity. Certainly, Catholicism, Orthodox Christianity, is certainly Avodah Zarah for Jews to do. The machlokas. The big argument exists as to whether it's also considered Avodah Zarah for non-Jews to do. I mean, if somebody is a Catholic, are they considered an Oved Avodah Zarah? Which has tremendous ramifications. One of the Noahide laws is not to violate Avodah Zarah. Right? So if somebody is a Baal Avodah Zarah, all you have to do is learn through Maseches Avodah Zarah. So, is a person who is a non-Jewish Christian, do they necessarily prohibit somebody's wine in the same way that it? Right? Or all of the prohibitions in terms of there's a prohibition of shutfus with a Oved Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to have a partnership with a business partnership with an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the Gemara says because you're going to have an argument with him. You're going to end up in court, and you're going to have to make him swear, and he's going to swear to his Avodah Zarah. You're making him worship Avodah Zarah. So. That's a big problem, right? Or all of the Avodah Zarah prohibitions of marketplace. You're not allowed to deal in the market 3 days before their holidays or 3 days after a non-Jewish holiday. So wait a second. Every Sunday is a holiday for a a Catholic, for a Christian. So does that mean that I'm not allowed to work with him on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday because that's 3 days before, or on Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because that's 3 days, right?
One day.
Right? So there's no days left, right? So the general assumption that we Paskin like is that a Catholic is not a Avodah Zarah. We don't, for them to do it is not a Avodah Zarah. Now, how that then, all the ramifications of that is really not beyond the purview of of this year.
But serving Christianity, Mohammedanism, those are all about Islam, right?
Islam is not necessarily a Zar. They don't necessarily. They don't. They have one God. Muhammad is not seen as a God. Muhammad is seen as a prophet. So Muhammad is, because Muhammad is not a God. They're not worshiping Muhammad.
But Allah is our God.
Yeah. So there's been a big issue recently in the blogosphere that somebody posted erroneously that whatever, that's beyond for sure.
But so just a general rule, so somebody who converts to Islam, they considered
about. That's what the Rambam wrote. That's why there's speculation that the Rambam actually converted, or at least gave the appearance of being a Muslim. The Rambam actually writes in a letter to somebody who converted to Islam, saying it's not so bad. It's possible that's not even something that's Yehorik Val Yavar. I mean, for a Jew to worship to become Christian, so that we assume is Yehorik Val Yavar. I mean, that would include a violation of the Avodah Zarah. For a Jew to, under the threat of death, to convert to become a Muslim is probably not a violation. He probably would be. He probably doesn't have to give his life up. I'll make sure to do that. Now, there's many Jews over our history that have, and there's many Jews over our history, obviously. I mean, one could even make a claim that maybe it's not Yehorik Val Yavar to convert to become a Catholic. So that some raised and said, what do you mean? Thousands of Jews died rather than do that. Millions of Jews died over the years rather than do that. So you start getting into a very sensitive area. But in terms of halacha, our general assumptions today is that for a Jew to worship, to become a Christian is considered Avodah Zarah. All the laws of not entering a house of Avodah Zarah apply to a Jew not going into a church. But right, going into a mosque might be a different story. But in terms of them, we don't consider them to be Avodah Zarah, which has important ramifications, certainly in the area of business. Maybe that's a topic for halacha day. But if not, I gave pretty much all of last year, Monday night, I gave shiur on this topic in my shul. It's available on YU Torah. Okay, so continue on with the Ramban a little bit further. Right, 'cause we're running out of time. So Pasuk Zayin is Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav. You shall not say Hashem's name in vain. So we pointed out from Rashi that really has two applications. You're not allowed to swear a oath that everybody knows, meaning to swear that this desk is a desk, right? That would be considered a violation of using Hashem's name in vain. And then also to give a false oath. So that would also be a violation of Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav. So the Ramban says here that the simple explanation, what is this doing here? I mean, it doesn't sound like it's really in our top 10. I mean, we should make the top 10 list of mitzvahs. So the Ramban explains the Seder Zu Hamitzvah Achar is Haras Avodah Zarah. The reason for this, following the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, he gasher royally Yiras Hashem Hakadol Anor Shul Aseis Kvadul Achir. That the Avodah Zarah, we need to fear or have an awesome respect for Hashem, the great Hashem, and not give any honor to others. So Kain Royal Ateis Kavod L'Shvo. So if that's the case, we're not going to give honor to others. We certainly behooves us to give honor to Hashem. And how do we give honor to Hashem? To give honor to the name of Hashem. So Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Hakachal Hashav is an outgrowth of the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. Okay. That's probably is good enough for that. That Ramban. Okay, and then we get up to Pasuk Ches. So Pasuk Ches then gets into Shabbos. We'll do a few things in Shabbos, then we're going to call it a day. So Pasuk Ches, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, remember the day of Hashem and sanctify it. So the Ramban comments, Zachor, Ramban says, okay, so what's the order here? I mean, the Ramban actually does this throughout. What is the order? Why is this a why is this a logical order to go through the Aseres HaDibros? By the way, it's a very important question for the Ramban, not necessarily as important a question for others, because it is possible to claim that the Aseres HaDibros is simply a sampling of mitzvos that are given to a ger. Right, they're given to converts. All the Jews are converting, and this is their sampling of mitzvos. And when the Gemara tells us that when we tell non-Jews about the mitzvos, we don't necessarily have to tell them all the mitzvos. We give them a sampling, some difficult ones, some not so difficult ones. So that might be what the Aseres HaDibros are. Yes, Shabbos is a very difficult mitzvah to keep. Not to kill somebody, right? Hopefully you'll be able to handle that one, right? That doesn't sound too, hopefully not too difficult to do. So anyways, so Zachor Achar should see. But the Ramban says, no, these are the big ten. And therefore it behooves us to understand how to understand these as being a logical order to the big ten. So he explains, after Hashem commands us to believe in Hashem, and Hashem has commanded us not to worship others, and we specifically have pointed out that the name of Hashem is a very sanctified name, Tziva Shenasa Bezeh Siman V'Zichron Tamid Lehudia Shehu Bara Hakol. We are commanded to make a regular sign that we regularly remember that Hashem is the one who created everything. Now, Shabbos is one day a week. It's not, right? But it's a sign that we're supposed to regularly remember. So therefore, he says, Zachor es yom haShabbos lekadsho. And in Mishneh Torah, in Devarim, it says, Shamor es yom haShabbos lekadsho. Right? He says, Shamor. So how do we understand that? So the Gemara says, Zachor v'Shamor b'dibur echa nemru. Right? That Zachor and Shamor were said at the same time. So as we pointed out yesterday, those people that were here yesterday don't answer, why is it in L'chadodi, Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echa? If it's Zachor v'Shamor in the order of the Torah, why in Lecha Dodi do we start by saying Shahamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad? Anybody know?
I forgot what you said.
You were here? Online. Yeah, you were online. Okay. Anybody remember? Because the guy who wrote its name was
Shamor.
What? His name wasn't Shamor. His name was Shlomo. His name was Shlomo, right? Shlomo Alkavetz. So if his name was Zalman, it might have been Zachor v'Shamor. But because his name was Shlomo, it's Shamor v'Zachor. Okay. So as I was saying, so you explain.
Shlomo is the same name.
What?
Zalman is Shlomo in
Yiddish. Right, okay, so he lived in Tzfat, and therefore his name was Shlomo. If he lived in Poland and his name was Zalman, his name would have been Zachor v'Shamor. Either way, I'm curious about this. Shlomo Alkavetz was a contemporary of Yosef Karo, right? So the idea that Licha Dodi, that means already at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, right, that's when it was first composed, that's what it sounds like. So that the idea of saying Licha Dodi spread so quickly to all of Ashkenaz is a very interesting thing, right? That's a pretty quick migration of a tefillah that got to all. There's no sect of Jews that don't say Lecha Dodi, right? So occurred to me this past Shabbos. So, anyways, Vakavano Lehemzal Ki Zachor Mitzvahs Ase. Zachor is a positive mitzvah that we're commanded to remember. And Shamor Etzla Mitzvahs Lotase. And Shamor the Lotase. Shekol Makom Shneimar He Shamer Pen. Right, watch lest you violate some kind of prohibition. So that's what Zachor v'Shamor. So he explains, and that explains a very important halacha. The Gemara tells us Noshim Chayvus BeKiddush Hayom Dvar Torah that women are commanded in Kiddush on the level of Doraisa. Why? Because it says Zachor v'Shamor Kol Sheyeshu Mishmir Yeshu Bezachira. Anybody charged with the mitzvah of Shmira, the lotaseis of Shabbos, are also charged with the mitzvah of Zechira, of positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. Why would I think that woman would be exempt from the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos? What's the time down mitzvah? It's a mitzvah seish hazman grama. In mitzvah seish hazman grama, gadol mizu. It's the essence of a time bound mitzvah. But yet women are commanded in Kiddush, just like men are commanded in Kiddush, which is important for them to remember. And it sounds like women probably are also just as commanded in Havdalah as men are commanded in Havdalah. So so that's based on this idea that if they're commanded in the low tases, the prohibitions of Shabbos, they should also be commanded in the ases. And by the way, how do you know that it doesn't work in the opposite direction? Maybe I would think that if women are not obligated in the positive mitzvahs, maybe they're also not obligated in the negative mitzvahs. So I mentioned this in a shiur a couple of months ago. I don't remember what shiur, in what context, in which room, or what answer you gave to that. But if anybody can remember. Like to remember it. Anyways, the Tachit, so he explains, so he explains that the first Luchos had the words Zachor, and the second ones are Shmira. Why? Because the positive mitzvahs represent the idea of Ava, representing of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is represented by the positive mitzvahs, and fearing Hashem is represented in negative mitzvahs. So it's important, it's more important to have an Avas Hashem for than a Yiras Hashem. That's what the Ramban comments here. That's why Zachor is mentioned before Shamor. The positive aspects of Shabbos are a more important thing to give over than the negative aspects of Shabbos. Okay, so that's at least the first four Dibros, mostly through the thoughts of the Ramban. I guess we'll pick up tomorrow with more on this.